From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last Thursday, depositors were lining up outside Silicon Valley Bank in California after pulling out $42 billion before the bank closed down and was taken over by federal regulators. And then on Sunday, New York's Signature Bank went under the control of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, better known as the FDIC. So what does this mean for Idahoans and Idaho banks and credit unions? Well, to answer those questions, we invited Jason Norris back. He is the Principal of Research and Portfolio Management at Ferguson Wellman. Jason, it's nice to have you on the show again.
Nice to be back, Gemma.
So, Jason, for folks who may not be following this or maybe don't fully understand it, what exactly happened at Silicon Valley Bank?
So Silicon Valley Bank had a very focused set of customers, primarily in Silicon Valley. So a lot of startups in the technology space. And so as interest rates rose and those companies needed cash flow, they need to tap their bank resources. On the other side, Silicon Valley Bank's reserves, which were primarily in U.S. Treasuries, lost value as we've seen interest rates rise over the last 12 months. So there was a mismatch of their loans versus their reserves. And then therefore that caused the concern that the bank would have to raise money. And hence we had a classic, just like It's a Wonderful Life back, you know, almost 100 years ago, run on the bank.
Okay. And so my understanding, if we can go back a ways, Jason, is can we go back to when we saw some big bank collapses in 2008? And when this happened, there, after all of the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis, the Dodd-Frank Act went into effect. And my understanding, and please correct me if I am wrong, is that this is when basically the federal government agreed that they would not insure certain banks past a certain amount of money, yet you then had bankers, Silicon Valley Bank being one of them, where their CEO lobbied to get some of that agreement changed. And in 2018, it was changed.
So this is, it's the classic moral hazard is, you want to, limit, we'll call it a bailout, but I think this is a little bit different. What happens in the banking industry. In the financial crisis, there was a lot of things going on and they were kind of taking it day by day on what to do. If you recall, some banks failed, some were forced to merge. There was no consistent policy. Now we thought we had a consistent policy until over the weekend when the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury decided that they were going to backstop all depositors, even though it was above the $250,000 limit. So that was a change in policy, as you had mentioned, which was good for the market and good for depositors. The question mark is, did they bail out the banks? If you were an investor in Silicon Valley Bank, your shares are worth zero. If you owned bonds in the bank, I'm sure those are virtually worthless. So depositors got help, but investors did not.
Okay. So then let's move forward to Sunday when the federal government, the FDIC, then took over Signature Bank. Now, why did this happen and how is it tied to what happened on Thursday with Silicon Valley Bank?
So Signature Bank had a very concentrated set of customers as well. And those were in the cryptocurrency industry. So therefore, due to the volatility in that industry, in the cash needs, it put a stress on their balance sheet, as well as the same issues with their reserves of being in government treasuries. The fallout of the Federal Reserve raising rates has reduced the value of treasury holdings across the world. So if you're a bank and you own long-term treasuries, your reserves fell anywhere between 10 and 20% last year. So that puts you in a position of you need to raise funds. And therefore, if depositors are taking money out, then you need to raise more funds. And that's And that's what happened over the last few days. And that's why we're seeing concerns across a lot of the regional banks, is because, the two issues of the value of their reserves going down and then people getting concerned and taking money out. So it's kind of this spiral that's feared in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about this fear that I think has been inspired by this, as you said, and that is this run on banks, and that means basically taking your money out of a bank. The rule has been that the FDIC insures bank accounts for up to $250,000. If you have more than that in a bank, it collapses. You are guaranteed, if it is FDIC insured, that you will get that $250,000. If you have more, you might get some back, may not, you'll have to wait. What I noticed happening over the weekend, Jason, was that you have very big investors, right? You have organizations like Roku that had money in Silicon Valley Bank. Their money was so big, it's not insured. And then you have people using the power of social media, using the power of the media to, in a way, almost get in front of this and say, hey, if we don't get all of our money back, we're going to have, dire circumstances happen, world on fire, everything's collapsing. And then come Monday morning, the Biden administration comes out and says, we're going to make sure everyone gets all of their money back. That's not supposed to happen in that way. So why did this happen? And in your opinion, is that the right thing to be doing? Because could a precedent be set?
So you are correct. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. The belief was, that the fallout, if depositors weren't made whole, would spread to other banks. And, just for instance, if you're a nonprofit and you had $500,000 in U.S. bank, you would be concerned all of a sudden. And I'm not saying right or wrong. And I think the concern was by regulators is that would spread across all banks that had, $250,000 is a lot of money, but for corporate cash or nonprofits, they might go over that. So it was a fine line. And I believe that the federal government erred on the side of conservatism and not in a political sense, to bail out the depositors, because they thought if they didn't, it would spread. It's hard to say if it would or not, but that would be the fear, because we are getting questions from clients that are still concerned that they may have balances at other banks that are over $250,000, and they're wondering if they should move that money. So I believe, that was the concern. Was it right? I think it stabilized the industry. You could argue, did that bail out a lot of venture capital investment funds in Silicon Valley? It probably did. It probably helped them out. But I think the fear was, would that come to Zions Bank in Boise, Idaho, and there's a line out the door because people are concerned? I think that's where the federal government erred, learning the lessons of 2008, 2009, when they were just kind of, making it up as they went.
So let's talk about Idaho and the impact something like this would have on banks. As you mentioned, Zions Bank, we have other banks here in Idaho, we have smaller banks in Idaho. So how do these compare to a bank like SVB?
So the issue with, we'll say, smaller banks is that is where you may get that highly concentrated customer base, which may pose some risk. If loan officers and bank managers are doing their job and having a diverse, loan book, that shouldn't be an issue. And as we've seen, that there is now an implied no limit on FDI insurance. So if you are a business, an individual, or a nonprofit that has over $250,000, there was a precedent set that your deposits will be covered if a small bank does have a run on it and they have to close doors. It's not law, but I think setting that precedent over the weekend you know, the hopes was to stabilize even, you know, big banks like Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, as well as smaller community banks, just to mitigate that concern.
And Jason, I know we're using the term bailout, but a lot of times people then assume that that's taxpayer money. In this case, it is not taxpayer money that will be giving this money back to account holders, correct?
So the FDIC insurance is, you know, all banks pay fees into that insurance pool. I, at this time, do not know if, you know, the pool will cover every deposit or there will be needed help from the federal government. I haven't read anything either way, but as of now, FDIC insurance is funded by the private sector, specifically the banks that are covered by that.
And also, we have a lot of credit unions here in the Gem State. So are they insured by the FDIC?
There is a very similar insurance program, not the FDIC, but credit union insurance. And it works, for the most part, the exact same way. It covers deposits up to $250,000. It's hard not to make the assumption that if something were to happen to a local credit union, that the same rules would apply. But since the credit union insurance, I don't think, was involved in the negotiations with Silicon Valley Bank, it's hard to say, but it's hard. It would be hard to treat credit unions differently than the regional banks in this instance.
So bottom line, Jason, how concerned should Idahoans be about the collapse that we saw of these two banks from Thursday to Sunday? And I ask that question because you did bring up, you've even had clients calling who are concerned. I think there are probably many conversations being had in homes all across the country about this.
We don't think you should be concerned. What we saw over the weekend is that depositors will be made whole if your balances are above that $250,000 threshold. You know, for the majority of banks are healthy. This isn't a 2008 crisis where the credit quality at these banks across the board is poor. It happened that there was a very focused customer base in these banks and a mismanagement of their reserves. But as we've seen in the markets the last couple of days, investors are deciding to sell those stocks and move on until they see how it happens. But we think right now that, you know, the banking system isn't in a lot better situation than it was in 2008, 2009.
Okay. As always, I really appreciate you coming on the program and talking us through this. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Jason Norris. He is the Principal of Research and Portfolio Management at Ferguson Wellman, discussing the Silicon Valley banking collapse and what it means for Idaho as well as Idahoans. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.